May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Each month at the diocesan office, we send out, well, I should say Barbara sends out something called the Lay Preacher's Bulletin. This has been going on for a few years now. It's a free email newsletter with a little blurb about the readings for the upcoming month, and each month those blurbs are written by a different priest in the diocese. And it's free, and if anybody is really curious about that, you can talk to me and I'll sign you up for it. But this month it was Bishop Greg who wrote the blurbs, and his blurb for today's reading, it really sparked my imagination in this passage. So it's not very long, so let me read it to you. The teaching of Jesus in today's gospel reading about taking the lower place rather than the higher one comes from a time and culture in which hierarchy was embedded in much of life. Most of us will not attend many meals in which the seating is arranged in such a manner where there's a clear hierarchy for the more powerful or prestigious people down to the lower people. Yet it is part of our human impulse to compare ourselves to one another, to gauge our place against what others have or don't have. And we also live in a culture that is highly sensitive to celebrity and public recognition. Jesus' words are not providing a tactic to navigate those social pathways, but to fundamentally undermine them. We are told that he is speaking in parable. The second part of the reading takes it even further. In the culture of Jesus' day, inviting guests to a meal was very frequently about creating debts of obligation and indebtedness from those who could do you good in return. And so that's the later part of the reading, invite those who cannot pay you back. The underlying invitation from Jesus to choose is to choose the path of selfless love and humility. And the Christological core of this teaching is that Jesus himself, as the divine Son of God, chooses to lay aside divine glory and to share our human life and even our death, something that we can never repay, and even gives us a banquet in the Eucharist to which we who are by contrast the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind are fed. And so he asks us, where and how do we see our tendencies to get caught up in the games of human relationships? How might we live into Jesus' call in a different way? How do we cooperate with the Holy Spirit's grace in making us more loving and humble, more conformed to the likeness of Jesus? And where are the opportunities in our lives to invite those in need to our banquet? So that's what the bishop wrote. And you can see, I just thought that was great. It's like, hey, thanks for the sermon. I love those the questions that Bishop Greg poses here about how we can understand the parable Jesus is speaking and how we can interpret that in our own context. So please, by all means, run with those questions. And if you want a copy of the questions, I'll be happy to send them to you. Great questions. But I got stuck earlier in his text with something that he said that left me lost in wonder, awe, and praise about just how amazingly creative Jesus was at finding topics for parables. Here he is at a dinner party, and he turns the dinner party itself into a parable. He sees a fig tree, and he turns the fig tree into a parable. He talks with shepherds, and he finds parables in shepherding. He meets slaves and managers and householders, and he finds parables in household life. Like, this guy was like a walking factory of parables, of different ways to see the ordinary circumstances of our lives. Jesus, it seems, could discover a spiritual lesson at the heart of almost any ordinary daily activity, like if he was flossing his teeth, Jesus would probably have a parable about flossing his teeth. It is amazing. Because for him, there was no divide between the spiritual life and ordinary daily life. They were completely and utterly transparent to one another. That what he saw as the spiritual life was nothing at all different from the ordinary daily life, the ordinary daily experiences the people were living in, that he was living in at every moment. Imagine the options for Jesus. And then imagine what Jesus chose to do. He didn't retreat up into the hills to become a wise, holy man. He didn't spend most of his time in the temple or synagogue praying and teaching. He lived and taught and preached and healed right out there in everybody's ordinary daily lives. Right in the midst of things that they experienced all the time. Almost as if he wanted to transform their ordinary experience into something different. Imagine that. He saw those ordinary experiences as full of the grace of God and overflowing with opportunities for ministry and overflowing with different ways to see everything. Doesn't that just make you think? Jesus saw everything very different from how we see it. It would have just looked like a dinner party to me. It wouldn't have looked like an opportunity to see completely differently. Earlier in the summer, a totally chance comment by a colleague got me oddly interested in the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. And so Ignatian spirituality or Ignatius of Loyola, or sometimes people will do like a 30-day Ignatian retreat, or you'll sometimes hear people talking about the Examine, which was Ignatius's big sort of daily prayer practice. And as you do when you start finding yourself getting curious about something, I looked up a podcast on the subject called The Daily Prayer of Discernment with Father Tim Gallagher. I also recommend that. It's great. Now, I knew very little about the Examine. Actually, I should say I knew basically nothing at all. And what I learned really inspired my imagination. The Examine is a daily spiritual practice to help you come alive to how God is present in your daily life. That is the whole purpose of it. So it's a daily thing. You review your day. You see how God has been active and the moments when God has kind of planted little gifts for you around. It's like God is like a fairy godmother who just goes around sprinkling little gifts here and there, and the practice helps you to see how God has been active in your life. And there in the first episode of this podcast, Father Tim tells this wonderful story about Blessed Peter Faber, who was the very first Jesuit. He was Ignatius's roommate in college. So here we are, we're in the early 1500s. Peter Faber was sent by Ignatius to Spain, to the royal court, and he became quite famous in the royal court in a very short period of time, famous for the caliber of his life, the quality of his life. One day, he was dressed very, very plainly, as he always was. He went to the royal chapel to hear a sermon by this noted preacher. But the porter, the doorkeeper, at the door of the royal chapel, not just a chapel anybody can go to, this is the royal chapel for the court, saw this guy dressed in these poor clothes and didn't recognize this famous spiritual master. And so he turned Peter Faber away and closed the door on him. Now, hands up, how many of us would be very frustrated by this turn of events? Maybe also quite humiliated. Possibly quite aggravated. Some people might think that would have ruined practically their whole day. We'd maybe find other people who knew us, and we'd be like, no, you don't understand, silly porter. I'm Peter Faber. But not Peter Faber. Not Peter Faber. He took himself off to a quiet corner of the court, of like the courtyard, and he entered into a practice of examine to understand what had happened. And as he prayed and he asked God to reveal to him what was going on in this moment, he came to see it as a parable. And he writes, "How often have I shut the door of my heart against God? And when you good Jesus, came to your own. You did not receive them. Every day, you knock at the door of our souls. And how often we don't open ourselves to you. This for him became a whole way of understanding the sadness that Jesus must feel when we turn him away at the gates of our lives. And for the rest of his life, he prayed that when his time would come to enter into heaven, that his heart would have been opened enough that the porter at the door of heaven would open swiftly to him. What could have been a totally ordinary and aggravating moment, an aggravating or humiliating moment in an otherwise ordinary day, turned into a major moment of transformation in the life of Blessed Peter Faber. Writing about this later in his life, he said, "And so it happened that I came to love the porter even more, he being the cause of my devotion." This moment became for him a parable, a way to see this whole moment completely differently and to perceive God's work so active in the midst of his life all the time. There's no sense that, you know, God like zapped the porter in order to make this situation happen, but that God is capable of being present to us and transparent to us in all the circumstances of our daily lives, whatever they may be, and wherever they may come from. This moment became a parable, which changed his whole experience of what had happened and made this small, mundane moment that most of us would have gotten aggravated by and then forgotten the next day. But for him, it began a new phase in his life. And just putting a pitch out to this podcast, the whole first episode of this podcast is full of little itty-bitty tiny stories like this that were major transforming moments in people's lives. This is what a daily practice of examine can do, says Father Tim, to see through the events of our ordinary days and to see how God is speaking to us in the midst of them and inviting us to be transformed, almost as if it helps us to see how the spiritual life and our ordinary lives are actually totally transparent to one another. They're not different things at all. To review everything that happens, however small and however unimportant it may genuinely be, and to see Jesus at work in our lives, still teaching, still preaching and healing and living in all the midst of all of our ordinary days. Jesus says to us, "I am the way." Well, what if part of the way that Jesus is the way is to see the world in parables, to see that transparency between our ordinary lives and our spiritual lives? Perhaps we are called to follow his way of seeing parables wherever we look. Like, these were just some examples that I came up with. I don't know how they might be parables. Like when that elevator door closes in front of you, this always happens to me at the Foothills Hospital. I'm just about to get there and it goes, and then you have to wait forever for the next one. Okay, so, you know, the elevator closes just before you are gonna get on. Or really, the soap runs out of the dispenser while you're washing your hands. I am telling you, these guys in this podcast could find a way to make that a transforming spiritual moment in their lives. You know, or when someone pushes in front of you as you're about to get onto the bus. And not to say that God is like making these things happen, that God was like, zap, no soap for you, you know, but that every moment in our lives offers us a new way to see, a new way to understand that there is nothing too small for God to make use of if our hearts are open. An ordinary day, which most of us are just about to go out there into the day and live. So like the guy who decided to do an illegal U-turn in the middle of an intersection right in front of me in the fog as I was coming here, Blessed Peter Faber probably would have begun a whole new side of his spiritual life from that one experience. He would have pulled over to the side, started praying the examen, and lo and behold, you know, who knows what great spiritual work of art would have been written as a result of that one experience. So we're just about to leave here and go out into our ordinary day. And it's incredible to think what transforming moments, what parables could be out there waiting for us? An ordinary day, full of opportunities for God to speak, full of opportunities for us to see things differently. So I recommend the podcast, and I recommend the bishop's questions. But most of all, I recommend that we open our imaginations to see a little bit more like Jesus does. A whole world, every second of our days, full of shining, transparent moments, full of God, full of parables. So that's my prayer for us today. Amen.